Hey guys,
this is Zach.
This is Stuart.
And this is the Back Row Super Show. This is a Me episode number 19.
19, almost close to drinking age.
Yep. So these are shorter episodes. Yep. There you go. Open that drink. Sit back and let us regale you with the things that we've been playing, watching, reading, all that stuff. These are things that we've been enjoying recently, but they're not really long enough to fill a 45-minute episode on their own.
Yeah.
But maybe they are, and maybe we mine them later and actually make them for realsies episodes.
Yeah, but this is just stuff that we've been doing that we think are interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll start off.
Yeah, why don't you kick us off? What you got?
I watched a movie called The Mummy.
Ooh, which mummy?
Not the good one.
Oh.
Or the other good one.
What?
I watched the one that came out in 2016, starring Tom Cruise.
Everybody's favorite.
He's some people's favorite.
Did he run?
Yeah, he ran so fast. So this is a movie that was intended to kick off the Dark Universe, which was Universal's answer to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, wasn't there a bunch of ham-handed, people showing up, like...
Yeah. Dr. Jekyll shows up. It's...
Who's he played by?
Russell Crowe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Universal movies, like the monster movies, I think are the first extended universe, because, like, there was crossover between a lot of them.
Yeah, wasn't there, like, crossover between...
Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. So, like, they were the first to really kind of do this on screen, and I hate that this movie killed that opportunity for them, because they had a whole thing planned out. Like, Johnny Depp is... troubling as he is, was slated to be the Invisible Man.
Ooh, I thought that would have been good.
They were supposed to be doing A Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is my favorite.
Yeah, that's right. You do have a tattoo.
Yep. Yeah, it's just...
Did they say who was going to play him?
No, they didn't. Because, okay. I mean, it's... honestly, probably Doug Jones, which, I mean, he played a Gill Man in Shape of Water.
That's true.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel like that was probably my Creature from the Black Lagoon
movie. Jason Momoa. He could be all the aquatic things.
All the aquatic people.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mummy, it's... I liked it more for what it could have been than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise is way too old to be in that movie as his character.
Yeah.
How
old is he now?
He's in his late 50s, maybe early 60s. I think he's in his early 60s.
Does he still do all of his stunts?
I don't know if he did them for this, because he wasn't... I don't think that Wagner Cruz was a producer on it, so I don't... Like, I know he does that with Mission Impossible, because he's producing it, so he can be like, nah.
I'm going to do it. Yeah.
I'm going to do this. Which is admirable in some respects, but he's also completely crazy.
And old. I mean, you know, your body can only take so much stress.
Yeah. I mean, watch it if you want to see a big, dumb action movie, because it's a big, dumb sci-fi action movie.
Yeah.
It's not very much a horror movie at all. I mean, it's kind of like The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, the good one.
Yeah, but, like, Brendan Fraser had that, I don't know, that pizzazz, that, like,
Tom Cruise just doesn't.
Yeah, because I can understand big, dumb action movie with him, but with Tom Cruise, I feel like it's too serious. Like, he plays too serious of a character.
Yeah.
I mean, does he play the same kind of character he always plays in this movie?
Yeah, pretty much. He plays the same old, like... I'm a super special boy with super special powers.
Yeah. Only I can be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I don't want to recommend it necessarily. I watched it and wanted to share that I watched it. And...
Yeah. Do you think that it was the reason that they canceled this
Absolutely. Okay. It did not perform well. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it did not perform well in the box office. I think it barely made its budget back.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Which is, for a Tom Cruise movie, his movies usually...
Yeah, do gangbusters.
Do gangbusters.
Yeah. Especially his Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that. If you like big, dumb action movies and don't really care about it killing a franchise, then feel free to watch it. Otherwise, you may want to stay away from it.
Well, I ended up playing Slay the Spire. Now, I've talked about this game in a previous Me.
Yeah.
But now it is actually... So, it was in its, I guess, open beta, where it was early access, where you could buy it. But again, they were making updates on a regular basis, probably like a bi-weekly basis.
And it's kind of a roguelite,
too. It is.
Right?
Okay. It is a roguelite deck-building game.
Okay.
Which I love. I love all sorts of deck-building games. And this one's unique because it plays a lot like Dominion, where you can, when you beat certain villains or beat certain like monsters in the Spire, you get a card, or you can pick a card out of three options, or you can pass on it, because sometimes you want to keep your deck slim. But they officially released it. And since they officially released it, now a bunch of people can mod it, because it's, you know, through Steam, and it has Steam community and a Steam workshop, which is really awesome. And again, it's a kind of a simpler game to mod since it's a card-based game, because you don't really need to put that many graphics into it. All you need to do is set up card with card art and then parameters of what that card does. So it's very interesting to see like the particular mods that people have put into it. There's a Super Saiyan mod where you play as, you play as a Goku, and there's different cards that allow you, and they're all cards that reference the Dragon Ball Z universe, which is kind of cool. There's a Yu-Gi-Oh mod, where you can summon monsters and stuff like that. So there's a lot of interesting things. There's a bunch of, like, anime mods from, like, different anime series, which is kind of cool. But it always surprises me, like, the ingenuity of the Steam community. Because, again, this game just recently came out officially, and mods have been just pouring out. And it's just crazy to see some of these mods. Like, I had gotten my... I had gotten my $20 out of this game. I had played the game, and I had been it to a particular point where I'm like, alright, I've seen all of the cards, I've done all of the strategies, I'm pretty cool with this. Thank you for allowing me to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people have modded the game, and it's really drawn me back because I want to see what kind of designs they have created. Because it's very interesting from a design point of view. Because some of the mods, like the Goku mod, there are game-breaking cards. Where if you get a certain combo of cards, and it's not even like hard cards to get, but if you get a certain combo of cards, you're invincible. You can beat that game no matter what.
So are you recommending the mods or no?
Well, the mods are free. So, if you have the game, I recommend the game. I wholeheartedly recommend the game. If you enjoy deck-building games or roguelike games, I recommend this game. It's only $20, and I've already put in about 130 hours, which is the most hours I've ever put into a game. So, again, I highly recommend this game. And then you can get the mods for free.
Oh.
Yeah. The mods are available. And all you have to do is download them. And then just boot it up with the mods. So it's not even hard to, like, set up the mods. Because Steam has this wonderful, like, user interface. Where it's super easy to, like, insert these mods.
Okay.
But yes, I highly recommend this game. This game is two thumbs up from me. I love the game. And it's nice to come back and explore the game with a new perspective and sort of see, like, how people design particular cards. Because it's interesting to see how they balance their cards and if there's actually some balance into them.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what I did. I played a lot of Slay the Spire with mods.
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the first Purge film called, appropriately, The Purge.
Nice. Yeah.
I had never seen it before.
Okay.
I don't normally like this, like, home invasion movies.
Yeah.
But I really liked this movie. I don't know if I'll, like, because it has, like, three sequels,
it
right?
It does. I actually, it's not recent, but I saw the last Purge movie that came out. Like,
so the prequel one?
Yeah, the first Purge. Yeah. Which was interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Now, have you seen the first one?
I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've seen the first one and the prequel?
Yes. Okay. I did not see the second one.
Yeah, and I think there's a third as well. But maybe. But yeah, so it's an interesting idea and an interesting, like, dystopian sci-fi.
Yeah.
Movie. A lot of people call it a horror movie. I wouldn't call it a horror movie.
I wouldn't call that, yeah.
I would say, like, light sci-fi dystopian.
Yeah, I would agree. It's like if the U.S. went on a crazy bend. And it's, like, an alternate universe of the United States. Yeah,
because, like, I think they mention in it, like, there's a president for life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people need to get their aggression out. And so crime drops dramatically because they make it so that on one night a year, all crime is legal, emergency services will not respond.
Yeah, and you know what? I would like to think nowadays, in our culture, that not many people would do anything. I think a lot of people would just kind of lock themselves in their houses and, like...
I think I'm pessimistic. I think that there 100% that people would actually take part in this.
Gosh.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, because you're not a horrible human
being. I'm not a horrible human being either.
Because if you were like, yeah, I would take part of the Purge.
Yeah,
I'd
go out there. I'd kill a bunch of homeless people.
Yeah, steal and rape. I'd be like, I don't know if I could do this podcast with you anymore.
No, that, like, yeah, like, it's not unbelievable that, like, it's the scenario itself is unbelievable. I don't think something like that would happen.
Of course not.
It's very believable for me that people would take part in it if it were a real thing.
See?
Because my vision of people is not very high. So
I would disagree with you. I think that a lot of people would stay at home and sort of, you know, guard their own house, and I think a lot of people would just be afraid, and I would believe that people wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean the whole thing, I think, is not allegory. It's making the point that classist lines lead to bad things.
Yeah.
And having the ultra, because I mean the guy is the designer of the home security system.
Yeah.
For these things, and hijinks ensue, and he is on the wrong end of the stick, so to speak.
Yeah. And because
people take good actions. Like, there's a guy who's trying to get away from someone and he gets let in by one of his kids. And so, yeah, like, even in this really bad situation, someone's trying to do something good and it completely upends, you know, the paradigm that they've set up for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, in the prequel, the first Purge, it there is a bunch of, like, classist, themes to it where, you know, it's basically the rich trying to get rid of the poor because they think that the poor are going to purge all of themselves off or something like that.
Well, I mean, if you're homeless, like, you can't barricade yourself in your gigantic McMansion.
Yeah. But, you know, they also show themes of humans banding together where there's this one paramedic group that decide that they're going to stay on for the Purge. Mm. So they've got, like, an armored truck where they try to help out people who need medical attention.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would like to think that human nature would band together. Like, we wouldn't want to just, like, start randomly murdering each other. But, you know, I have a more optimistic view.
Yeah, I think you're more optimist and I'm more pessimist. And yeah. We balance each other.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not a horror movie. Like, I don't feel that there's much tension. You know, there's the jump scares that they have, and that's kind of a cheap scare. But other than that, it's more of an action kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But would you recommend it to people? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would wholeheartedly recommend this one. I haven't seen any of the others, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like, this is a really well-done movie, for sure.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke does a great job in it.
Who's the main character?
Ethan
Hawke. Yeah. What's his name?
I forget.
Oh, okay.
He basically designed security systems to keep all of the bad things out. Yeah, no, I would recommend it. It's
so is it mainly just watch.
The Blumhouse movie?
Yeah, so, but it mainly takes place in his house, right?
Like, yeah, they don't. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure all of the movie takes place in or around his house.
Okay, yeah, I know that the other movies kind of explore like what's happening in the city, what's happening in the United States.
And well, stuff and if like I that. Remember right, this movie was only shot for like a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
It's, I say only, but, like, that's low for most movies, especially ones that make, like, 150 back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, like, go out and see it. If you're a pessimist like me, go see it and go, well, this is the road we're going down, aren't we?
No, this is not the road that we're going down.
So, yeah, that was that.
Yeah. Well, next thing, more card games, because... boy, do I love card games.
You do.
Hearthstone announced its new expansion, which I'm looking forward to.
And what's the name of that expansion?
Rise of the Shadows.
Rise of the Shadows?
Yeah. So, basically, it's all of the Hearthstone villains from previous sets banding together and creating, like, a league of supervillains. Yeah. So,
is the art very comic booky?
It's kind of comic booky, yeah. So, Arch Thief Rafon's going to be there. Togwaggle, who is part of the Kobold Gang, is there. Dr. Boom, who's, a
goblin.
A goblin, yeah. He's a very, I guess, a unique and famous goblin from World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a boss in one of, like, the raids or something like that. And all he did was sit there and put, or, like, sent out his, minions, which were these giant exploding mechs and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Hagatha the Witch is also going to be a part of it. And then they have a new villain, this priest lady, who hasn't been named yet. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. When does that come out?
So it comes out at the beginning of April. They haven't announced like an actual date, but it's early April. It looks good. It's nice because it's going to be a rotation of the new set. So they have different. I guess, standard sets, where you can only use so many cards from their older sets.
Okay.
So this was the Year of the Raven, and when they transfer to the Year of the Dragon, the Year of the Mammoth is going to be now wild, where you can't use it in standard.
Ah.
And there were a lot of powerful cards.
So tournaments and stuff.
You yeah. Can, okay. Well, I mean, and
does it auto sort these things?
Yes. Into what's, yes, okay. They auto sort them, and you can use them in wild. But yeah, Blizzard mainly supports standard, and the latter is usually standard based, like tournaments and stuff like that. Gotcha. So, I know that they've been trying to move into some wild tournaments, but not many people are really interested in that because there's a lot of broken combos. Because you limit your design space when you print out so many cards. So, you know, when you have a plethora of cards to choose from, it's a lot easier to make combos where they're just like one-turn kill combos or OTK combos.
Okay.
Yeah. So with Standard, it kind of refreshes the meta because new decks will come out, new cards will come out, and you'll be able to switch up your decks.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is they're taking away Baku and the other card where it was an odd and even where you upgraded your hero power, which was very broken, destroyed the meta. I didn't even really play Hearthstone that much because it was just a very stale meta. You would always play against the same decks, and it was just repetitive and wasn't fun. So I actually haven't been playing Hearthstone that much. So I'm very happy and relieved to see this new Standard come into fruition.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm happy to see some of the mechanics that are coming with this new expansion. It's always cool because I love design. I love thinking about design and seeing new cards being designed.
Yeah.
Just because it's like a puzzle that you have to piece together. And it's always kind of cool to see. And Blizzard does a good job of designing cards. And it's always kind of cool to see what cards they've designed. So, I'm interested to see what's coming down the pipeline, and I'm excited to get back into Hearthstone, because I haven't really been playing that much, again, because of the stale meta and playing against the same deck over and over again. So, I'm happy to see the switch up.
So, how much of the story, I guess, is why you play? Because it sounds like you play because you want to see the meta story that's going on?
Or yeah.
Or are you talking about something else when you say meta?
When I say meta, I mean the standard ladder. So when you play Hearthstone, you queue up into a ladder.
Okay.
And you'll end up playing against some random person. Usually that random person will have the same deck that you just played against. Because it's the strongest deck.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to play the strongest deck because it gets them the most wins. So you can climb up the ladder. So it's frustrating just playing the same deck over and over again because it gets stale. You know what they're going to play. There's no, I guess there's no variety.
Okay.
So that just kind of gets stale, and it becomes a slog trying to get through that standard ladder. Because the higher you get in the ladder, like you start off at level 20, and as you progress, as you get more wins, you go up levels.
Okay.
You go up the levels 19, 18, so on and so forth. And the higher level you are, the more rewards you get at the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm also interested in the story because Blizzard does tell a good story.
They do. And I love their art style. It's very particular to their look.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's cartoony and big and bulky. And yeah, like I really like the look.
Yeah. And I know previously I talked about how Ben Brodes, who was the lead developer of Hearthstone, ended up moving from Hearthstone. They just released a trailer for this new expansion, and it is hilarious. I'm not sure who the guy is in it, but he's definitely picked up Ben Brodes' torch, and he's moving with it. And okay. Sort of being as silly as Ben Brodes was.
Okay.
So it's good to see that they haven't, like, tried to switch up the formula.
Sure.
It's good to see that they're still going with what seems funny and, like, lighthearted.
Okay.
Because, again, Hearthstone is a very lighthearted game. It's not taken super serious.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that they're still, like, able to poke fun at themselves and have a lighthearted sense amongst them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I mean, speaking of Blizzard, my last thing was I read a book set in the World of Warcraft universe called Before the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was written by Christy Golden. And Christy Golden is now, I want to say she's like a VP of their marketing team, which is awesome. Like,
yeah.
her writing career, I think she has some original works, but the majority of her writing career has been spent as some people kind of derisively call it fan fiction, but she writes in-universe for characters in game properties. Like, she's written for Warcraft before. Yeah. I want to say that her book is the one that the Warcraft movie drew very heavily from.
When they were
writing the script.
Yeah.
So Before the Storm, and again, I don't play WoW. I'm pretty sure the last expansion was Battle for Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was kind of written as a marketing device for Battle for Azeroth.
Okay.
So mainly the characters it focuses on are Sylvanas Windrunner and the leader of the Alliance.
Yeah.
She's
a fantastic card in Hearthstone, too.
Sylvanas is probably one of my favorite characters in the Warcraft universe, just because her story is extremely tragic.
Oh.
And
I know nothing about her lore, but I know that she's a very strong card.
So she was originally a Night Elf.
Mm-hmm.
She was betrayed by the Lich King,
okay,
I believe, and killed.
All right.
So she is now part of the undead.
Yes.
And so she kind of leads that faction in game.
Mm-hmm.
She's a banshee, so she has all these other powers. Plus, she's an excellent shot and an excellent strategist because she didn't lose any of her skills and personality when she died. She just came back.
Yeah.
But no, she's a very cool character. I know there's a lot of drama around something that she did for Battle for Azeroth that I won't spoil. Well, I mean, I guess if people are playing it,
I have no idea what she did.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you off mic then.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm curious now.
But yeah, no, it's a really cool book. It's very, I could see this very easily turning into a script. If only Warcraft did better and they could make a movie for each expansion, I would love it. Because, like, there's so
you
much
you know how much that would cost?
I mean, Blizzard's good for it.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
How many billions of dollars are they worth?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot.
But yeah, like, this is the type of story I would want to see on a screen rather than play through.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm not I don't have a whole lot of experience with MMOs, mm-hmm, but the little experience I have, not a huge fan.
Yeah.
I still want to try out Neverwinter, because I have it on my PS4.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like D&D, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I recommend reading this book if you're interested in World of Warcraft. I know that I've met a couple people who played Blizzard games back in the day, but have never played WoW, but still read all of these books.
Well, that's good.
When they come out.
That speaks volumes to their writing style.
Yeah, no, and Christy Golden is a fantastic author.
Good.
It takes a certain skill. I've read enough of, again, people derisively call it fan fiction. I read enough of the Star Wars Expanded Universe books when they were out,
mm-hmm,
to know that you can definitely mess up and end up with a really bad book.
Oh, yeah.
I've never read a book of hers and been like, this is terrible. Like, I've always been, I've always found her books very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend it. And anything else that she's written, if you like this book, definitely just go back through her work, because she's a very good author.
Yeah. I'll tell you, reading some of the Halo books were rough. Because they would contradict a lot of the Halo, I guess, universe when you were playing the video game.
Yeah.
So
I wonder how much of that too, though, is a lot of that was outsourced. And so I'm wondering if the problem there is that the video game team is working on the story Bible. The author's writing the book, but the book has to come out before the game.
Yeah.
Because it's ultimately it's marketing for the game.
Yeah. But like, you still want those books to be good. Like, you,
Oh yeah, totally.
I remember reading a couple about, like, the Flood, and then when you played the Halo that dealt with the Flood, you're like, this contradicts everything that I read.
Yeah. I really like Fall of Reach, though, that Eren Island
book. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, all the Halo games are coming to a PC. Microsoft's releasing them on the PC.
Okay. I don't have a PC, so...
I know, I'm just saying, because I have a PC.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the mods on those.
I can imagine some of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got one last thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So... Nintendo. Their North America division. Do you know who the... Basically, the president of the North division... of Nintendo was.
It's like Doug Bowser now, right?
Yeah, Reggie. Yeah. Reggie ended up...
Reggie Fiamme is gone.
He's gone, yeah. So I just wanted to give a shout-out. Reggie was a fantastic spokesperson for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And he was definitely like a Ben Rhodes of Nintendo. He was a guy who really enjoyed like making dad puns. And wasn't afraid to be silly. So, I just wanted to give a shout-out saying, you'll definitely be missed, Reggie. And it's kind of funny that Bowser...
is now in charge of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen those memes.
Yeah. It's quite funny. So, it's just a small shout-out saying, hey, Reggie, you were a fantastic spokesperson. And, yeah, you did good. I think he did a fantastic job. Working with the Nintendo, working with the people in the North Atlanta district, and working with his team, especially when it came to like putting out videos and making memes, because he knew what he was and he kind of embraced it, and it was good to see like a relatable, enjoyable person who really like. Looked like they enjoyed their job.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's rare, I feel. Oh, yeah. Especially in, like, the video game industry, where you've got all of these, like, layoffs, and you've got just dirty dealings between developers and stuff. It's kind of refreshing just to see, like, a happy, go-lucky face that really enjoyed what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
Let me just say, Reggie, you will be missed, and I wish you the best in whatever endeavors you take. I think he's just retiring. I think he's done.
Yeah. He's just, okay.
He wants to be...
Well, he's earned it.
Yeah, he just wants to spend time with his family, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a small shout-out to Reggie. Who knows, maybe you listen. I appreciate all of the work that you've done.
It, but yeah.
You never know. You never know. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. That's it for me. You got anything else?
That's it. All right. Book club book is Dr. Sleep.
This up.
Okay. Book club book is Dr. Sleep. Check out our Facebook page. It's Backrow Super Show, four separate words.
Yeah, we'll be doing some nerd fights over there.
Yeah, nerd fights. We pit two IP properties against each other, and you decide who the winner is.
That's right.
Yeah. Send us an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Bye.